Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Going to continue some of our work on the Dynasty tiers. So we covered in a couple of prior episodes, we covered basically the overview. We covered some of the lower tier stuff, right? Just some of the different tiers below in terms of like human hand grenades, some of those types of things. In this episode, we're going to look at some of the free agents. And I think it's interesting because we have a variety of them this year. So some of the ones that I mentioned already I think Wayne Gallman, for example, I think he has really earned money. So I don't, that seems that seems like a weird place to start this show for folks that aren't that aren't Analytics of Dynasty followers. But I do think that he is a player that, you know, that's a player that we're probably in on, right? A lot of us are probably in on. So I do think he has certainly earned an opportunity to continue. This is a time where guys that are lower pedigree and haven't really done it, they can kind of flunk out. And that's not to be an insult or anything, but this is kind of where they tend to fall off a cliff in terms of viability and those sorts of things. So I think that he's going to maintain for sure. So whether that's with the Giants or in a different situation, that's to be seen, but very good in terms of some of the metric stuff for this past year. So he's definitely one. Some other ones I think to watch for, Jamal Williams. I wouldn't put it past him to be the week one starter in Green Bay. I don't think that is an unreasonable possibility. I got a pretty low base rate here, but yeah, that's kind of where we're at with him. Mike Davis is also a free agent. We'll see. Maybe he's earned some money. Malcolm Brown, he's a free agent. He's kind of on that Wayne Gallman track that I mentioned a few minutes ago, where hey, he could kind of be like fading out of the NFL. He's more on that track after this year than Wayne Gallman is. Rex Burkhead coming off the injury, it's tough. He's going to be 31. Brian Hill, it's a interesting situation because Atlanta's open, right? And they don't have a ton of cap space. So if someone hung around, they have a non-zero chance of being the starter there. So I'm monitoring him, although it's worth noting that he, of course, is a free agent. Devonta Booker as well. He's the one injury away in Vegas, so it'd be interesting to see if he maybe goes back there. Mark Ingram was released later on in the, it was late in the season or right early on in the off season for them, so we can get a start potentially going someplace else. Carlos Hyde as well, Frank Gore, Tevin Coleman is an interesting one. He is basically being undrafted right now. It's been kind of a rough couple years for him. And Marlon, and he's still only 28. So, I put veteran minimum type. It wouldn't shock me if he sort of gets that type of running back two, running back three committee type treatment in free agency. Marlon Mack is that dangerous profile. And see, this is the danger, right? You think in windows. He's one of those guys that, hey, it's like really nice. Like he played really well. They brought in superior draft competition, didn't sign him to a long-term deal. And you're just hanging on pins and needles because anytime he takes a hit, that could be it. And, he goes down with the injury, loses the season. And running back in free agency off of an injury is a disaster recipe. So that would just be the thing that I would have a little concern with him there. So, all right. Now, some of the bigger ones in terms of guys that are out there, Le'Veon Bell, we'll see what his situation is. Adrian Peterson as well. I'll run through some of these guys. Spotrac has some projections on some of these guys, so we'll run down some of these things. Market value for Kenyon Drake, $8.3 million. That's a two-year, $16.7 million deal is what it rounds out to be. I'm not sure why they made it 8.3. It should be actually 8.4. It looks like by their numbers, it looks like they have a rounding error and didn't round up, which is interesting formatting thing here with how they did their math. I'm not really sure why they did that. Comps for him: Joe Mixon, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, and Tevin Coleman. So that's you know, that's an that Tevin Coleman one's kind of interesting, right? We talked about him before. You know, Drake came in off kind of a down year, and I think if you're sort of putting him in that Mixon Gordon tier, it's a little too rich. I do think in terms of maybe that Kareem Hunt, Tevin Coleman type range is something that he looks at. It's closer to like $5 or $6 million. Coming off this year, I don't think you want to give him a ton of guaranteed money, honestly, because I don't think you need to. And it wasn't great, right? So that would sort of be my thought there on that one. Again, he is, when you sort of look at some of these guys, it's interesting because his profile isn't what you would expect. But of those four guys that I mentioned, he's the worst receiving one. So that's notable. Again, he had better touchdown numbers than basically everyone but Melvin Gordon. He had the basically the median rushing yard that group, and you know, played a good chunk of the games in there as well. So again, you're kind of paying for touchdowns, which seems like a bad idea. So we'll see what teams do. I'm sure that the Bears are out there itching their trigger fingers to send out a bad contract for a player like Kenyon Drake. Todd Gurley, again, these are, I think it's worth noting with some of these contract things, this is right, this is kind of analytics. This isn't necessarily all that smart, right? So they don't kind of know the stink that's on him, right? They're just looking at prior numbers, prior profiles, that sort of stuff. You know, and it's worth just reading their, it's not a disclaimer, but it is a, you know, their explanation for their comp players that they choose. We've selected the following players based on age, contract status, and statistical production to compare to Todd Gurley. And the groups that they chose are Austin Eckler, Tariq Cohen, Mark Ingram, and Giovanni Bernard. Just think of the difference in which that was from a couple of years ago. You know, if we go back, what the different comps would be. So they say $5.5 million, couple of years. I would suspect it's going to be 1 year. And I'd be surprised if it's $5.5 million. So give me the under on both the two, you know, the 2 year, $11 million. Give me the under on that total contract that they project. I think it's going to be much harder for him to get a starting job. I think if you can sell for a second, I would do it. I'd get the pick liquidity. I think a first is probably gone, but I'd probably take the second, take the pick liquidity, and move it along. And that gives you the ability to move up and down the board. I think the same thing with Drake too, by the way. Yeah, I think he has a wider range of outcomes, but the same thing with him. Okay, James White is the next one. $3 million, 3 years, $9.1 million is what they project him to be. You know, Brandon Bolden, Deion Lewis. I don't know why I was just picking Patriots. Latavius Murray and Giovanni Bernard are the comps there with him. You know, when you sort of look at and they don't, for some reason, actually incorporate a ton of the receiving stuff in his, you know, in these statistical comparisons. So I'm not really sure what their basis for some of these are, but that's what they project. So you know, we'll see. I always think, you know, this is easy, maybe even lazy analysis, but you think of, hey, if Tampa is looking to, you know, continue this winning window, doesn't he sort of fit their contending window? And he kind of knows the system. Yeah, I think that's all true. So that would be a team in a contending window that kind of needs a receiving back, right? Those are the types of teams that I'm thinking of. Again, maybe Buffalo, but that's not really what they do. You know, so Tampa, I think that'd be an interesting one for sure. That would be kind of where I would start thinking about them. You know, maybe if Green Bay let Aaron Jones walk, maybe a cheaper version is actually James White. So again, I think a third is probably more the area that you're looking at him in terms of cost. Again, what difference does he make is really the big question with these sorts of issues. You know, what's his warp, right? What's he do for you in a week, right? That's kind of the issue with this. So he might be more valuable in terms of an NFL player than not. This is one that I was actually extremely surprised about. Is when, and for some reason, they actually incorporate his receiving yards. So I don't know exactly what their system is in terms of some of the stuff. It's a little interesting. Here would be my analysis on the their generator or whatever they're using here. So $8.1 million, 4 years, $32 million. Again, maybe he comes off a big Super Bowl. I think that would be an interesting situation in terms of upticking his value for sure. His comps, actually pretty good ones. Joe Mixon, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, Kareem Hunt. I think if you're sort of like pegging these guys in terms of, you know, who kind of fits, I think with Fournette, you do have some of the stinks, probably not the right word, but some of this negative odor around him. Yeah, I guess maybe stinks the right word. I don't know. This negative narrative around him, which is, hey, he's a troublemaker, he's all these things. You know, he kind of didn't appear to have a ton of interest in the waiver market. So $8 million a year over 4 years doesn't seem like it's all that likely, especially in the market where it is now. I would take the under on a lot of these contracts, but I could be surprised, I guess. But yeah, I mean, he's one that I think when you sort of compare him to Mixon, Gordon, Eckler, and Hunt, you're like, all right, like the numbers aren't bad. You know, he's about a year older than those guys were on average. Melvin Gordon was 2 years, $16 million a year at 26 years old, which is what Fournette will be at. Kareem Hunt, right? So if you sort of say, hey, maybe Kareem Hunt with some of the off-field stuff, and he kind of comps to Fournette a little bit and some of the headache factor stuff, right? And I do think there are teams that need running backs. And, you know, Atlanta would be super interesting, right? And when you look at some of the comp stuff, I mean, he had 26.9 yards, basically 27 receiving yards per game. That compares better than Joe Mixon, interestingly. That compares to below the other guys, so below Gordon, below Hunt, and below Eckler, right? So, but yeah, they put him just over $8 million. Again, I'd take the under, and maybe it's shorter, but I do think when you just use those comparisons, hey, that's all of those guys got signed to starting running back jobs. That's pretty interesting when you're looking for, you know, potential value going forward. I think he's wouldn't pay a first for him. You know, if you can sort of, I have him in a ton of spots. I'm holding him, right? I would take a first, yeah, but I'm not going to pay a first. You know, would I pay like a later second? Yeah, I think so. I think you have a pretty good payoff there. And I'm not even sure you're going to need to do that, right? In terms of some of the trades that I have seen, some of the values that I've seen in terms of like just negotiating trades, I haven't really seen that big valuation from him. So that would be, you know, I do think, again, he's a player that you have a wide range of outcomes on, and that is a good player to throw in on the back end of deals, right? That's a good player to make 2 for 2, 3 for 3, or, you know, incorporate pick swaps or whatever, you know, incorporate those different techniques. I do think he has upside, right? He has 1.5 win upside. What's the odds of that, right? That's a whole different calculus. I think some of these numbers are pretty encouraging, though. And when you sort of look around, again, maybe Seattle, right? I mean, you just look at some of the places that kind of fit what he wants to do. Atlanta would be really interesting in terms of, you know, they're over the cap quite a bit, but he would be interesting there for sure. And the cost, not that much. So I'll just, for example, here, Fournette for Jamal Williams, David Joku, a third and a fourth, right? What's that? Maybe like a second, right? That's not that much. For Jalen Guyton and a fourth, that was a couple weeks ago. It's not a ton of these deals. Two firsts in Fournette for Saquon Barkley. Not sure how early those are. Fournette, Sterling Shepard, and a fourth for a first 2 years from now. So again, this is like the second round range, right? This is kind of where he's fitting. Wouldn't sell him for that. If you could sort of patch together, I kind of like that. Hey, a couple pieces and a third for him, right? Consolidate roster spots and take a couple players that don't have a very wide range of outcomes and get a player that has a wide range of outcomes, right? Even if you sort of swing and miss there, you're trying to capture that elite upside. And that's making 8%, you know, that top 8%. Type decision. I really like that. So he would be a player that I would certainly think about if you have you know, people ask me, you know, how do you fix, I have this hole at running back, you know, well, just start picking guys, right? That's the easiest way to do it. I don't have, I'm preaching to the choir here a bit in terms of the stuff, but I do think, right, he's the type of player that can have a wide range of outcomes. And if you stack a bunch of those guys together, they get more and more interesting. So, all right. So, moving on, James Conner, 5.4 million. About 10, just short of $11 million over 2 years is what they project him at. The comps they use, Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler, Kareem Hunt, and Giovanni Bernard. So again, these are starting to recycle back through a little bit. But you just see like the difference between Fournette and Connor's profile to date, right? Like that is just the comps that they're using. Fournette's much better, right? So so that's the thing there. Yeah, he's on the lower aspect of all of these guys in terms of receiving yards. Per game is what they're, is one of the comps they're using. That I think they're using quarterback rating as well, as being one of the things that they're looking at. And he, yeah, he's basically better than some of these guys in rushing. He's about median in rushing and on kind of the lower end in the receiving stuff. So you know, that's kind of not super optimal for the NFL in 2021 now. So yeah, when you look at, when you look at his value, I think he's one that's actually held back a little bit by free agency because there's a chance that he goes someplace and isn't a starter. So you see him for a second. You see him and Gardner Minshew for Jameson Crowder and Matthew Stafford. That was, I think, pre – that might actually even been pre-trade for Stafford. There's not a ton of these deals going on here. Him and Darnell Mooney for waiver wire bucks, that seems miscalibrated. Him and Joe Mixon for a first – which is better be high would be the thought that I would say here. I'm just checking. And I was wrong. It's 11. So that's super flex. So again, that makes it, I guess, a little bit more valuable, but man, that's something. Yeah. Give me the Mixon Connor side of that. Just cause I think you have, yeah, I mean, that's it. A first for a couple years from now, him for Wentz and start one, him for a second in a couple years, him for Donovan Peoples-Jones in a second this year. Yeah, him and Fournette for Amari Cooper, right? That is just crushing the Cooper side. So these are a little bit all over the place. I think that second round range, again, I'm not sure I'm buying. I'd much rather spend a second round valuation on Fournette than Connor. And it looks like they're doable, right? So, yeah, so that would be the thought that I would have on him, right? I'm not – I would sell for that. I'd probably sell for that second, to be honest with you, because I'm not sure he's going to land this big job. And even if he comes back to the Steelers, I'm not sure it's super, super valuable, to be honest with you. All right, here's the big one, Aaron Jones. And his comps, these are really good comps. Delvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, and Zeke Elliott. So when you sort of look at these guys, he is actually the second. He's the second worst in terms of receiving yards per game, only better than Derrick Henry, better than Derrick Henry by a pretty wide margin. But he's below the average of those four guys. He's above average in terms of passer rating. So one of the better rating guys, actually the best out of those four comps. So that's really him there. He, again, big touchdown numbers. So that's really the thing that he's hanging his hat on, median in terms of rushing yards. And he played, basically the most games. So, and when you look at him by age, he's 26 and the average in that was, 25. So he's a year older than those average things. So, yeah, so that's basically they calculate him out to be 4 years, 58.5 million. It's 14.6. That's their number. Don't quote me on – don't take my math for that off the top of my head because I think their numbers are a little jacked. What's interesting to me is I'm not sure based on how this sort of factors into what the salary cap's going to be. That's one thing I haven't seen particularly clear from Spotrac when comparing some of these things about how – you know, what they're adjusting for in terms of the cap, right? So I know that they're sort of capping Delvin Cook and Kamara and Zeke to him and saying, all right, like here's what they had and now here's what Aaron Jones had and here's kind of how they fit. And he's, you know, 4% above in this stat and, you know, 12% below in this. And this is, so this is kind of where you come out. But I'm not sure how much they're actually regressing that towards what the actual market is right now. So that would just be a cautionary note. But you know, there are teams that have money to spend, and I think, you know, the Jets trying to surround Sam Darnold with some talent. They continuously make bad investments at wide receiver. So, I mean, maybe make a bad investment at running back. Sure. That would sort of, I do think there will be buyers for him, and that's going to be a tough amount to pay. Even if you take 20% off the top of that, right. Of that 14 million, even if you take, say 3 million off of that, make it, you know, 11 to 12 million instead of 14 to 15. That's still going to be tough for Green Bay to pay, especially with what they just invested in their running backs. For basically a tenth of that, I think you could probably get close, you know, Jamal Williams under contract for a couple of years and make it work. So that would be, I hope that number gets driven up, because I think it means he's going to leave Green Bay and open up the AJ Dillon window. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I was glad to see his number that high. Chris Carson, surprisingly high number, 7.4 million. They project 4 years, 29.6 million. Mixon, Gurley, Gordon, Hunt. Again, they were just sort of recycling these guys through as comps and their recent comps. He's like well below them in terms of all of the rankings, you know, comparing their stats and whatnot. He's one that I would probably take the under again on this happening. And, you know, with the injury stuff, again, these don't incorporate all that injury stuff. It incorporates games played. Again, he had 84% of games played, but it doesn't incorporate some of the, you know, some of the wear and tear that we've seen with him. So I take the under on this one as well. But he's an interesting one. Again, could he be on his way out of Seattle, and what opportunities that open up? I think it'll be interesting to watch for. Last but not least, in terms of what Spotrac actually projects, Philip Lindsay, 8.2 million. Mixon, Hunt, Gordon, and Eckler is the comps that they use. He's basically like 6% below their median and 3% below their average. So he's actually compares pretty favorably to those guys, which is pretty interesting. Well below them in terms of well below them in terms of receiving yards, though. So that would be one thing that really, really questionable there. All his comps had significantly better receiving. And do you really want to pay like an interior grinder who is like 190 pounds? That just doesn't seem like it's all that wise. But he is a restricted free agent. So we'll see what he draws on the market and how they protect him. I would suspect he's back with Denver. Just because you don't see a ton of restricted free agents move, but they project a couple years and 16.5 million there. And again, I'm not exactly sure how they're getting their numbers in terms of they definitely have a rounding error, because it's actually 8.3 million, but they definitely have a rounding error in their thing. They're making a mistake somehow where they're calculating that data. Okay, well, now that they have me as a fact checker, I'm sure I'm on the appreciation list. All right, some other guys here that are free agents that we did not mention. Mark Ingram, yes. Tevin Coleman. Breida is an unrestricted free agent. I think we talked about him a little bit earlier. Brian Hill, unrestricted free agent again. That was one we mentioned. Yeldon, Deion Lewis, Chris Thompson, Jerick McKinnon looks like he's on his way out of San Francisco and doesn't want anything to do with them. LeSean McCoy, again, that opens up an opportunity in Tampa. So we think about that through the lens, not so much of LeSean McCoy, but of Keyshawn Vaughn, of Leonard Fournette, of Ronald Jones. Let's see. Lamar Miller's a free agent. He's not that relevant. Le'Veon Bell, they don't have a comp for him in terms of money. So that might tell you what to think. Kalen Ballage, unrestricted free agent as well. Gus Edwards, restricted free agent. Fully expect him to be back there. Deonta Foreman, restricted free agent. Hopefully he will be back there as well in Tennessee. And those are really the big ones. Boston Scott is a restricted free agent. There's some rumor that Tariq Cohen's going to be traded to Philly. So we'll see what happens with all that. Exclusive rights free agent Ryan Nall is also on this list. So it bears mentioning. All right. Well, that'll do it. You know, trying to get you some values, things to look for, right? Pivot plays. I think that Atlanta one's a big one now, and the Jets one, that'll be interesting too. Yeah. So I hope this was helpful in terms of contextualizing what we're going to see, and some of the uncertainty and some of the timelines that we might see out of these players. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.